It is certainly an honor tonight to be a part of this special night for these young folks that are graduating and starting a new phase of their life. It's always a special moment. There are milestones in all of our lives, and this is one that we all remember in our lives. And I trust that tonight will be a very special day for them as well. I appreciate the singing tonight. Appreciate the Rupert boys singing this week. They've been a great blessing, and I appreciate getting to sing with that group of young people tonight. Every now and then, the devil tries to tell me I ain't done nothing worth nothing, and then when I get to stand in front of a bunch of youngins tonight and sing my song, it just makes him out to be a liar again. And my heart was touched deeply tonight. Before the service, I saw Brother Darren up here talking to these children, and he was telling these kids, I could tell he was telling them that, now this is the man that wrote this song, because I saw all these little heads pop up in the front row looking down there at me. It reminded me of a bunch of little birds in a nest sticking their heads up, and they were just looking so intently at me. That touched me, see those children, and to know that they're singing my song that God gave me. And it's all about the Lord. I'm glad that it is under the blood tonight. And I appreciate these days of meeting. It's always a blessing for me to come to Bethel. Brother Darren is one of my dearest preacher friends. I love him, I love his spirit, and I appreciate this church, and I appreciate this Christian school. The work that you're doing in these days is invaluable, and I appreciate it. I know sometimes you get weary and probably wonder why are we doing this, but it's worth it to invest in the lives of these young people. And parents, I know the responsibility you have, and thank you for trusting your children to this school, and that goes without saying tonight, but I appreciate the Lord. I will mention this tonight, and I had some last night asked me about some of my music. I did bring a few more of my CDs out in the foyer tonight if you're interested in those, and some of the songs, newer songs that I've written, and the Lord has blessed and helped me to do that. And if you'd be so inclined, you can see me after the service. Mark chapter number 8. I told the preacher, I said, I always struggle in this service trying to mesh a revival message in with a graduation message. And I'm not a very good topical preacher. Every now and then I'll go somewhere and they'll say, now we want you to stick to this theme. And I'm just not real good at that, but I'll do my best tonight to meld it into the best of both worlds and hope it'll be a help to you. This book will help us. No matter what theme we're using or what special service we're having, this book will help us, and I'm glad that it will. Mark chapter number 8, and I want to read just a few verses tonight, and I want to give you this simple thought, and I won't be long before you. Mark chapter number 8, and I want to begin reading in verse number 22. We find the scene here, a story of Jesus and his interaction with a blind man that has been brought to him. Now that wasn't unusual for Jesus to interact with blind men. He healed the blinded eyes, and he healed lame men, and he raised the dead to life. But here in this scene is a very unusual scene. Many times he'd look at the blind and he'd speak and they'd receive their sight. But here's a scene where a blind man is being dealt with by the Lord in a different way. And in verse number 22, the Bible says this, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, He put his hands again upon his eyes, and I want you to notice this phrase, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Father, thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I pray that you'd enable me for just a few moments now, Lord, to leave a simple thought in the hearts of all that are here. I pray, God, that you would just help us now by your good spirit. And Father, we'll give you praise for what you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Here in the story that I've read, we find that a blind man has been brought to the Savior. No doubt some friends or maybe even family. The Bible doesn't tell us who brought this man to Jesus, but no doubt they had brought him because they had told this man that if we can just get you to Jesus, you can get your sight. If we can just get you to Jesus, he can give you your sight and bless your life in a great way. And we see the scene here that the Bible said they brought him to Jesus, and the Bible then tells about the interaction that this man had with the Savior. The Bible tells us in verse number 23, and he said, verse 22, they besought him to touch him, and he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Now, I want you to notice this. The Bible says now Jesus has led this man out of town, and now he does something very unusual. The Bible said he spits on this man's eyes, and he touches him, and then he asks him a question. And basically, he says, do you see aught? What do you see? And the Bible said this blind man looked up, and here is has always been the mystery to me. He said, I see men as trees walking. In other words, this blind man is saying, I can see, but I can't see clearly. I can't tell the difference between men and trees. He said, I can see. And the Bible said he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. And then I want you to notice what else happened. The Bible said, then Jesus put his hands upon his eyes again. And I want you to notice this next time, what the Bible says, and made him look up. The first time the blind man looked up on his own. Here in this story, I really believe that if we look deep enough that we can see a blind man on the verge of the greatest thing that's ever happened in his life, hanging his head in discouragement. I mean, here he is, he's looking up and he's excited about his friends have said, Jesus can help you. And he looks up and he can't see, he can see, but he can't see clearly. And I see a blind man hang his head in discouragement. You see, that blind man needed to understand the same thing you and I both need to understand tonight, is that God's not through yet. You see, many times when we're on the verge of great blessings in our life and great victories in our life, the battles come from the enemy in such a way that will bring us great discouragement and cause us seemingly to walk in defeat, when all the while God is still in control and he still has his hand upon our life. If I could stress something to you tonight, even you tonight that are graduating and going out into this world, there's going to be many days in this world that you'll be discouraged. There'll be days, there'll be things happen in your life that you didn't see coming. You are embarking upon a journey tonight. I thought back as I was coming over here, when I graduated high school, I had no clue what my life was going to be from that point on out. You had focused all of your energy in getting to that point. And man, that was the pinnacle. I reached that moment. I finally made it. And then you, on the next day, when all the crowd's gone and all your buddies have dispersed and you're no longer going to the school, you're going, now what? And that happens to all of us. And sometimes there's discouragement that comes our way. But I'm glad there's a God that's still operating in our lives. You may be leaving this school, but God is leaving with you. You're not walking alone into this dark world, but he's going with you to help you in the path that God has chosen for your life. You say, preacher, what will cause us to get discouraged in our life? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'll give you one. First of all, tonight, it's easy to get discouraged when you receive less than you expected. Here's a blind man. They have brought him, and no doubt. Now, a blind man is not operating on what he sees. He can't see. He's operating on what he hears and what someone has told him. And no doubt they've said, man, I saw him heal a blind man down there. If we can just get you to Jesus, he can help you with your problem. And he's listening to this, and they begin to tell him about Jesus. They said, you know what? There's never been a man that spake like this man. When he speaks, dead men get up and walk around. When he speaks, the stormy waves lay down and are a calm. There's nobody that's ever spake like him. When he touches lepers, they're healed and they're made whole. When he touches lives, God changes them forever. And in his mind, he's thinking, man, I can't wait to see what he's going to do for me. And all of a sudden, Jesus takes him by the hand, leads him out of town, spits on his eyes and touches him and says, what do you see? And he looks up, and it's almost like he could have said, well, it ain't exactly what I expected. I mean, they said I could get my sight. I can't see clearly. I can't see any hang. Body language tells you how somebody is feeling. When somebody's got their head hanging down, have you ever been so down that Jesus had to make you look up? I mean, he's standing there and now he's looked up. He said, I see men as trees walking. And he's in his mind, he's thinking, I knew my case was too bad. I knew he couldn't. I knew them other men were better than me. I knew. And he's hanging his head. And Jesus touches him again and makes him look up. I got news for you right now. You're going to, in life, there's going to be days when you receive less than you expected. I remember as a kid growing up, we didn't have a lot. Of course, I was just raised on a little old farm my daddy had over there. And he worked a day job. But, you know, we didn't get much back in those days like kids do today. We was kind of poor, but Christmas was a real big day in our life as kids. And, you know, we didn't have the internet and stuff like that back then, but they did send out those Christmas wish books ahead of Christmas every year. Now, some of you older folks know what I'm talking about. The kids have no idea what I'm talking about. And but they'd send those Christmas, they called them wish books, and man, you could wish your heart away looking in that thing. And they'd send them things. Man, when that thing came in the mail, it was the most exciting day because, man, me and my sisters would fight over who got to look at it first. And we'd take our turn, and man, you'd look through that thing, and I'd like to have that, I'd like to have that, and I'd like to have that. And you didn't want to be forward about it. But sometimes you'd leave it laying open on the coffee table, hoping mom and dad would see the page that you had been looking at. And you had something on your mind that you wanted for Christmas. You just knew that. And as Christmas approached that day, you couldn't sleep the night before. And on Christmas morning, mom and dad would always gather us in as a family. And I had three sisters younger than myself. I was the oldest, and they'd always start this deal, and we'll let one open a gift and the next one open a gift and that type thing. And man, here I have been waiting all year long. I've laid that catalog open. I've pointed to what I want in it, and man, I'm so excited. And they'll hand you a gift and they'll say, all right, you open yours first right here. And man, you tear that thing open and you open it up and it's a pack of underwear. Now, don't get me wrong. We all need underwear, but nobody don't want them for Christmas. And you don't want to show your emotions. You're just trying to be nice. Well, thank you, I really needed that. And you're sitting there, and some of the others opening theirs. Next thing, you get another one. You rip it open. It's something else that you didn't really want. And man, you open them up, and finally, it looks like you're finished. And mom and dad was awful bad to do this. We'd think we were finished. And you're sitting there with a smile on your face, trying to keep a smile because, man, what you had on your mind did not materialize. And they're sitting there just making small talk. And then I'd hear my mom say to my dad, said, Lord, Charles, what is that over there behind the couch? And my dad would look up like, well, I don't know. What is it? And he'd get up and walk over there, and we'd all go to, we'd be like those kids in the choir, sticking our heads up and looking over there. All of a sudden, my dad would reach down there and say, well, I don't know what this is. And he'd reach behind there and pull out the big present. Man, I'm going to tell you something right now. Some of y'all going to hang your head. You're on the verge of God doing something great in your life, but the devil's got you defeated and the devil's going to get you down in the mully grubs when all the while you may be getting ready to open the big present. And boy, I tell you what, when God brings that to you, when God brings that in your life, you talk about glory. It's glory. Amen. I got news for you. This old world brings us a lot of disappointment. This old world brings a lot of things to us and we don't get what we thought was going to get, but hallelujah, one of these days we're going to open the big present yonder. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is coming, and hallelujah to his name. Sometimes you receive less than you expected. I remember when I was in school, high school, back then I did a lot of things in the art field. A lot of people don't know that about me, but I loved art. I loved drawing. I loved painting. And I was pretty good at it. And in high school, my senior year, I actually took it. Now, I took this in public school now. There was a class called Bible in Literature. And an English teacher taught it. So I took that class. Anything had to do with the Bible, I wanted to be a part of it. See, I didn't have the privilege of going to a Christian school like y'all did. But even back then, I went to that class, and what I was known for among most of my classmates was my art. I loved to draw. I loved to paint. And when I took that class, this teacher knew that, and for our 6 months grade, most people wrote papers to, and your whole grade was based upon that, what you did for that 6 months, whether it was a paper that you wrote or some special project you did. And this is what the teacher asked me to do. She said, I'll tell you what you do for your 6 months grade. Do some biblical paintings. And I want you to bring them in here and display them in my classroom. I'm talking about public school now. I said, wow, that's fantastic. I did just that. I had about 7 or 8 biblical scenes, paintings from the Word of God. I had a scene where Jesus had the little children gathered around him. And I had one where Moses is standing with his rod stretched out over the Red Sea. And I just had several paintings that I'd done. And of course, I got the highest grade she could give me. And this teacher began to talk to me. She said, you know, you really ought to do something with this gift you've got. And she said, there's an art school in Florida, in Sarasota, Florida, called the Ringling School of Art. And she said, I could see you being in that school, and I think I could pull some strings and get you in that school. And man, when she told me that, my mind started racing. I'm thinking, oh my, I never dreamed of something like this in my life. I grew up on a dirt road, man. I grew up, man, we farmed, and to think about going somewhere like that to an art school and starting out in a career in that was something that was just an amazing thought to me. But then reality hit, and I realized, I said, ain't nobody in my family ever been to college. All they ever did was go to school. When they got out of high school, got a job, and started working. And that's exactly what I did. I left high school. I left the thoughts of going to art school, and I got a job in the supermarket, bagging groceries. Now, I'll tell you, when you think about receiving less than you expected. I said, Lord, I don't know about this, but I said, that art school deal sounded like a pretty good thing. Yeah. I mean, who knows where I could go if I'd went to that place. And then I started in a grocery store. But I found out God wasn't through yet. Because it's in that grocery store on the dog food aisle. One day when I started scribbling down some words on a piece of cardboard, I'm not ashamed to stand and say that I love Jesus. I'm not ashamed to say I'm trusting in His Word. I'm not ashamed in lifting high the bloodstained banner because I'm saved. I'm not ashamed. I went home that day and told my wife, I said, I think I've wrote a song. Let's see if we can put some music to it. I'm talking about now, I wasn't in art school now. That career is vanished in front of my eyes. I'm seeing men as trees walking, but all the while God still got His hand on me. And He says, I got stuff for you that you don't even envision in your life. I've got places I'm going to take you that you, art school can't take you to the places that I've got to take you to. And that began a journey for me and God using those things in my life. And it brought me even tonight in here to a group of young people singing. That wouldn't have happened if I'd have been drawing cartoons. That wouldn't have happened if I'd have been to arts. I don't even know where my life would be and what I'd be doing tonight. But thank God, I'm glad that whenever you feel like you've received less than you expected, God's not through yet. I was telling the preacher just earlier part of this year, in February, last of February, I was invited to speak. Now, this is going to knock your hat in the creek. In Nashville, Tennessee. I was born and raised in Tennessee, had never been to Nashville before. You say, why not? I hadn't ever been trying to start a country music career. I didn't have no reason to go. I really didn't. But I got invited to speak in a service inside the Tennessee State Capitol building with Dr. Clarence Sexton. I preached with Dr. Sexton, standing in front of the House chambers with in front of the bust of Davy Crockett, with 20 lawmakers there, the lieutenant governor there, and the Speaker of the House there. And here's a little old boy that grew up on a dirt road in northeast Tennessee, standing in the Capitol preaching this blessed old book. Art school can't do that for you. But if you surrender your life to God, you have no idea what God might do with your life. Here's a blind man. He's received less than he expected, but he soon found out that God wasn't through yet. Sometimes you get discouraged because the process is not what you expect. I wish I could tell these graduates that from here on out, it's smooth sailing. I wish I could tell you you'll never have a cloudy day. I wish I could tell you you'll never be disappointed or brokenhearted. But the truth of the matter is, in this old world, there's going to be things that's going to batter you and beat you. And sometimes those processes leave you wondering, God, do you even care where I'm at? But I'm glad no matter what. You see, here's a blind man and they've told him about all that Jesus says. And Jesus comes down and leads him by the hand and spits on him. I mean, when you're expecting some flowery words and all you, I mean, you're standing there. Here's a blind man. He couldn't see Jesus do it, but he felt it. Can you imagine him standing there and he's trying to process in his mind, did this man just spit on me? Yes, sir. I mean, now my friends didn't tell me about this process. My friends told me he speaks well, and my friends said he speaks and blind men receive their sight. And he said, but they didn't tell me he's going to spit on me. And he's standing there. And Jesus touches him and says, what do you see? He looks up and says, I see men as trees walking. And he hung his head. He says, man, this process ain't what I thought it ought to be. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have some processes in life that's not going to be what you ordered. There's going to be people come into your life that may hurt you. There's going to be situations of life that's going to test you. But just remember this. Whenever those times come, just remember this, that God's not through yet. I remember years ago when I first went to the church over there, little church over there, country church. I was out at the church one day, and there was a fella. I was doing some work inside the church, and a big old fella came through the back door. I didn't know him, and I heard him when he walked in. He said, "Well, praise God." He said, "I'd feel right at home here." I looked up. I didn't know him. I said, "Well, can I help you with something, sir?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I'm new to the area." He said, "I'm the new pastor up at the Mountain City Church of God. And I saw a car down here, and I thought I need to meet some of the area pastors. There's one little Church of God in our whole county. It's never been a big congregation of people, just a small church. But this old boy was fresh out of college, and they had sent him up there. This was the first church he had ever pastored. And he saw my car, and he wanted to come down there and meet some local preachers. Ain't no more Church of God folks around. If you're going to meet a preacher, you're going to meet a Baptist." And I said, "Well, why did you say you'd feel right at home here?" He said, "Y'all got the Church of God hymnal in here." I said, "Say what?" He said, "That redback hymn book that you're singing out of." He said, "That's the Church of God hymnal." I said, "Oh, no, no, no. Us Baptists been singing out of that for years." He said, "Preacher, if you look where that's printed, it's printed in Cleveland, Tennessee." He said, "That's the headquarters of the Church of God down there." I said, "Don't tell these Baptists. They've been getting blessed by them songs for years, and they'll stop singing out of it." I said, "Don't you tell them. They'll have a business meeting, vote that we're getting new hymn books." And that old boy, he was his first church, and he just gravitated to me for some reason. He got so he'd call me on Saturday night when he's trying to study. He said, "Preacher, have you ever preached on this? Help me with this." I mean, good old boy, loved the Lord. And I'm wrestling with my newfound friendship with the Church of God preacher, because I know a lot of the other brethren are wrestling with it too. But the old boy was just had a little family. The old boy got sick, and they had to put him in the hospital. He had been on a football scholarship at East Tennessee State University. He played defensive tackle. Big dude. Played defensive tackle. Was on scholarship down there. He actually thought about trying out for the Atlanta Falcons, but he got an injury that stopped him from doing that. But anyway, this old boy got sick, and they had to put him in the hospital. I didn't know it. And he had a blood clot in his lung. And when I found it out, he was just about ready to get out of the hospital. And I thought, man, I bet you he ain't got no insurance, that little old church. I know they can't take care of him. And I said, he's got that wife and youngins. And I got to thinking, I said, Lord, there ain't no Church of God folk around here to help that old boy. Yeah. And it's about that time the Lord said, but is there any Christians around here? I said, there ain't no Church of God folk around here. There ain't no more like him around here. Are there any Christians? I said, yeah, there are. I went to the church that Sunday night, and I told my church, I said, "Church, I don't know if you heard it or not, but the Church of God preacher's in the hospital. He's got a wife and two little old youngins," and I said, "they may need some groceries or the light bill paid." I said, "We're going to take up an offering tonight." And we took it up that night, maybe $500, something like that. And that old boy just got out of the hospital. I called him on Monday or Tuesday, I believe it was, and I heard he got out. And I said, "How you doing?" He said, "Preacher, I'm feeling pretty rough. I've been in the hospital." I said, "I heard. I didn't know you was in there. I'd have come to see you." He said, "It's just been kind of rough, preacher." And I said, "Well, are you feeling well enough to have breakfast with me? Could you meet me at the restaurant and let's have breakfast?" And he kind of hesitated, and he said, "Well, preacher, just be honest with you, things is real tight around here." I said, "Oh, you don't understand. I want to buy you breakfast if you feel up to it. If you'd like to meet me at the restaurant." Now that's a good way to get the Baptist brethren talking. Let them see you eating breakfast in the restaurant with the Church of God preacher. But you see, Jesus saved me, got me before the Baptist did. And when he called me to preach, I didn't call up all the Baptist popes to find out what I was to preach. By the way, can I just throw this in there? Just, you know, I see all these fellows on Facebook telling us what we need to preach this Sunday. Well, thank you, sir, but I don't need your advice. I've been listening to the Lord for 29 years, and I believe your Facebook post ain't going to change my message Sunday. That's just a little thing that I've been wanting to get off my chest. But I met this old boy at the restaurant. He was just so overwhelmed, discouraged. We sat there, and as we was finishing up eating, he said, "Preacher, I want to thank you." He said, "I just needed somebody to be able to talk to." Amen. As we was getting ready to leave, He said, "Preacher, thank you so much." I said, "Well," I reached in my pocket. I said, "Well, what I really brought you down here for was this." I said, and I pulled the envelope out of my pocket and I stuck it out. I said, "Last night we took up an offering at the church for you. We thought you might need some groceries. Maybe you had the light bill paid, knew you'd been in the hospital." And I reached it out to him. And when I did, I'm talking about this big defensive tackle, played college football. Big guy, he stood there, and all of a sudden I saw his chin begin to quiver. And all of a sudden I saw tears come streaming down both cheeks, and he stood there forever, it seemed like, before he could even say anything. And when he did say something, this is what he said. He said, "Preacher, you don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand." I said, "What don't I understand, brother?" He said, "Preacher, ain't nobody else done so much as even get me a get well card. And here stands a Baptist preacher with a love offering." He said, "That ain't nothing but the love of Almighty God."
Amen. Amen.
You see, that old boy found out that God wasn't through yet. Sometimes the processes, I know those others didn't mean to let him down. We all fail at times in doing what we should do or need to do. But I'm here to tell you right now, whenever you hang your head and you feel like everybody's forgotten you, there's a God that's still got his hand on you. He's still touching you. And God's not through yet. Hallelujah. That old boy, he called me sometime back. He's in Atlanta, Georgia now. And we've held a friendship for all those years. And he one day even called me and confessed to me. He said, "Preacher, I identify more as a Baptist than I do Church of God." He said, "They sent this questionnaire out every year that you had, if you ever had the gift of speaking in tongues." And he said, "Preacher, I ain't never spoke in tongues." I said, "How in the world you hang in the Church of God that long not being able to do that as a preacher?" Yeah. And he said, "Well, I ain't never done it." He said, "Now, a few times when I've heard it, it made me feel uncomfortable." I said, "Man, you're a Baptist. You didn't even know it. You're a Baptist." I was in revival meeting in Bristol, Virginia for Brother Rayton Puckett over there years ago. And that's when this old boy is my friend. He's in Mountain City. He found out I was in revival. He said, "Preacher, can I drive you to revival tonight?" Man, I just about had a heart attack. I said, "That building's going to be packed over our preachers all over the Tri-Cities area. Baptist preachers, independent, fundamental, premillennial, temperamental, judgmental." I said, "And I'm going to ride up and have the Church of God preacher driving me." I'll never forget what old Brother Rayton Puckett, he came to me, "Brother Rayton's one of my heroes." And that voice of his, he said, "Brother Leonard," he said, "that old boy, if he's hanging with you, he's all right." Can I say to you, sometimes the processes of life are not what we expect. Number three, you can get discouraged when you've gone the extra mile and things haven't worked out. Here's a blind man that had went farther with Jesus than the other blind men had to go. And if you've ever, if you've given everything to the Lord, you said, "I've been there, I've been faithful, I've done this and I've done that, and others haven't been half as faithful of me, and it seems like everything they want, they get it, and here I am trying to serve God, and nothing ain't working out in my life." Just remember this, God is not through yet. You do realize some of the greatest blessings of life take time. You do realize that sometimes the race is not used most of the time to the swiftest, but those who persevere. And I'm glad for that. I thought about sometimes life throws things at you that you went the extra mile. I've got a young man out of my church. He's one of the finest young men I've ever known. His mother raised him by herself. His father died. And early on in their life, his mother, she didn't have any means, she didn't think, to take care of him, so she enlisted in the military to get an education, to be a nurse. And she raised her child, been a military. And Miss Margaret's one of the greatest women I've ever known. She's been over the medical unit. Matter of fact, in this Afghanistan debacle that ended, Miss Margaret's unit was one of the last ones pulled out of Afghanistan. They were there the day that those Marines were killed, and she was there, part of that, trying to save the lives of those that had been subject to that bomb. But her son's name's Hank, and he had watched his mother and her strength in all those years. Matter of fact, they gave her an award in the Tri-Cities area. Somebody submitted her name, and she won it for the whole Tri-Cities area for the strong woman, and she won that award, and she loves the Lord with all her heart. That boy grew up. I remember seeing a picture of him riding my back. I was down like a horse in the fellowship hall. That kid, I was looking at those pictures, those kids, that picture that brought back memory. And this little kid's on my back, riding my back. And last year he said, "Preacher, I'm getting ready to enlist in the Navy. I want to become a Navy SEAL." And I thought, you don't think about a little old kid riding your back that one day what he may embark on in life. I knew it was a daunting task for him. And he's gone in the training. And his mother called me the other day and said, "Preacher," said, "Hank called me. He didn't make it this time." I said, they were in a drill where his team was having to carry a boat over their heads and run for 6 miles. And since a lot of those men were a little older than Hank, and they're more developed, and he kept falling. He kept telling them, "We could slow down, we've got time," but they didn't, and Hank didn't make it. And said he called me and said, "Mom, I'm so embarrassed." Said, "I feel like I've let everybody down, and I feel like I've let the Lord down."
Y'all listen, man, listen.
Said, "I feel like I've let the Lord down."
Yeah.
I said, "Miss Margaret, you tell Hank that I'm more proud of him now than I've ever been in his life." And I said, and she said, "Well, he can try again in 2 years." And I said, "If that's still in his heart, there ain't a doubt in my mind that he's going to be a Navy SEAL." But sometimes things don't work out on your time schedule. But just know this, God is not through you. Last of all, and I give you this, I've been too long tonight, but sometimes you get discouraged when you've had an undesirable experience. Here's a man, a blind man, that's had something nobody here. If I said, "All right, I want a volunteer, I want to spit in somebody's face, come up here." Nobody wants that. Matter of fact, that's a quick way to start a fight. Several years ago, they just about shut down Major League Baseball because a player got mad and spit in an umpire's face, and the umpire said, "We'll walk out. We'll not work under those circumstances." Yep. Ain't nobody. It's undesirable. Yeah. I remember as a little kid, Mama get me ready for church, and you know how boys are. We'd get in the car I'd been out of playing, and get in the car going down the road, and my Mama would look at me and said, "Where'd you get that dirt on you at?" Yeah. And I didn't even know I had none. And there ain't no running water in a car. You know what your mama would do? She'd go to licking them fingers. Come here, boy. And rubbing you. I love my mama, but I don't want no spit bath from nobody. It's not desirable.
Here's a blind man. He's standing there with spit in his eyes. It's something he didn't desire. Sometimes you have undesirable experiences. But I want you to notice what Jesus did. He did not spit on this man. He only spit on him one time. The second time he touched him and made him look up. And here's what I believe happened. I believe that blind man had his sight the first time. Just the second time Jesus said, oh, come here, let me wipe that spit out of your eyes. Now what do you see? There's a lot of folks sitting at the house tonight. You won't believe what they said to me or done to me or how they treated me. And they're sitting there with spit in their eyes. And all the while the Lord's begging them to come here. Let me wipe it out of your eyes. And he said, what do you see now? He said, I see every man clearly. He was restored. Just remember this tonight. God is not through yet. Father, thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for how you've helped us tonight. I pray in this time of invitation, Lord, God, that you'll just have your will and way in every heart and every life. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do, brother. If you would get a song tonight to play. I want to ask you as you stand to your feet tonight. I'm going to let the pastor come here in just a moment. If God spoke to your heart in some way, you feel the need of prayer. It might be you say, preacher, there's been some discouragement I've faced. There's been some things that I've hung my head and I didn't realize that I could be on the verge of the greatest blessing of my life. I wonder, would there be others tonight you'd find your way to this altar and say, preacher, I just want to come. You might need him just to wipe the spit out of your eyes tonight. You might need him to do something for you, help you see clearly tonight. Oh, you say, but preacher, I've done this and I've went above and beyond and it seemed like it ain't working out. Just remember, God's not through yet. God's still got a plan for your life. He wants to help you tonight and he'll do just that. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, you can be tonight. That's God's plan for you. I wonder tonight, would there be somebody like that? You'd find a place here. If you do, we'll pray with you. If there's anybody here that needs to be saved, if you'll just hold up your hand, we'll let someone pray with you tonight. Anybody tonight? I wonder, would there be somebody who say, preacher, I haven't come, but God spoke to my heart tonight. Would you pray for me? I see that. Thank you. Anybody else? Lift your hand, take it right back down. Say, preacher, pray for me tonight. I need God. I see that. God bless you. Thank you. Anyone else? I see that. Thank you. Anyone else? Lift your hand. Take it right back down. I need your prayers, preacher. Anybody else tonight? I just need you. I see that. God bless you. Oh, yes. There may have been some disappointment that you've come upon. Just remember tonight, God's not through yet. He's still got a plan. You're looking for direction in life. Young person, just wait on God. He'll bring it to pass. Just commit your way to him. He'll bring it to pass. I wonder, anybody else tonight, lift your hand. Anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for this congregation of people, Lord, that have been so easy to preach to tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'd take the message now, burn it in our hearts, Lord, that very thought that, God, you're not through yet. And Lord, we'll give you praise for all you do. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name.